Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
Back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 Fan Justin and Ailish. Toronto Maple Leafs home opener this evening. Good chance to erase the past, start on a fresh foot at Scotiabank Arena. Someone that was there witnessing last night's comeback and then...
Up early for us on a travel day.
It was tough.
Very appreciative.
Craig Simpson, former NHL forward, two-time Stanley Cup champ, current Sportsnet color analyst. Thanks for joining us this morning, Craig.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we got to start with the most important question. We haven't had Chris Cuthbert on the show yet, but we need to know if he's ever told you any good stories about Justin, anything you can share with us, a little tidbit, anything.
This is mortifying, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, Justin. You know what? The one thing is obviously, like any father, really proud of the fact that Justin's doing what he's doing and getting a chance to do it with you. And I think we're all real excited to have him on the air. So good job for all of you.
Justin's cringing right now.
I know he is. You had to do that to your partner, though. Isn't that what you do?
That's right.
Yeah,
you literally have to kick him something if he mentions... the mention on the show, fine, but it's got to be warranted. It's got to be a good interview or something like that, because he seems a little trigger-happy.
He's a big fan. It's nice.
Well, I said I'm happy to be on with the two of you, and I hope you're enjoying the gig together. That sounds like you guys are having fun.
We definitely are. So Montreal to Toronto, a couple decent places to call hockey games and back-to-back nights to open the series. But Montreal's got to be pretty special on opening night. How was the scene last night? Carey Price's ovation, the literal passing of the torch. How special was it to be in Montreal on opening night?
Yeah, it's always such a good environment. I mean, the building is one of the nicest buildings in the league, one of the biggest buildings, if not the biggest in the league. I just think that I was saying to Chris before the game started that I thought, you know, in so many years past, there's been maybe more Toronto Maple Leaf sweaters than there were last night in the building. I actually thought for the first time in a Montreal-Toronto game here in Montreal, there was not as many Maple Leaf fans. And maybe it was just the excitement of Canadian fans just getting the season kicked off. Maybe it's because it wasn't a Saturday. You might see more on a Saturday. But I thought the energy by the Canadiens fans was more than what I've seen in the past. And there didn't seem to be as many white and blue sweaters in the stands as there has been in the past. So I thought the fans were excited. I know there's so many questions about this young Canadiens team that I thought they did an excellent job with so much inexperience in their lineup to play a pretty controlled and pretty solid first game of the season. And obviously to get the late win got the crowd to a crazy level. It was a really good atmosphere.
They look like a fun team. They look like a team with low expectations that they can just go out there and buzz. Suzuki and Caulfield for prime examples of that last night. But if we're looking at game one, it's easy to overreact a little bit here in Toronto, but you blow a lead, you come back, then you blow it again. Something that maybe has been a reoccurring theme in the past is playing down to your opponents. Did you see something of that sort, a lack of focus, a leadership that needed to happen late in the game?
Well, you know, you look at first game of the season, it can be human nature. If you're looking on paper and you know, I think some veteran guys on the Leafs front, I didn't think they came out and played a sharp game. I think if you've watched Sheldon Keefe after the game, his look said it all, his words said it all. There was no question that the thing that would have driven him crazy the most is just not protecting the puck. And there was far too many turnovers that created odd man rushes that ended up in the back of the net. You can think of just two guys in Suzuki and Caulfield getting, you know, the two-on-one at the end of the first period where they didn't score, and then early in the second having the exact same thing and they put it in the back of the net. And so I think that, they had to have a little bit of human nature of, Chris and I talk about it. Look at the back end for the Montreal Canadiens. If I were Marner, Matthews, top guy going into my first game of the year, and you're looking on the back end, you got two guys playing their very first games on defense, other two that have a total of 14 games, you know, you got to be licking your chops thinking, oh, we're going to get a ton of chances. And quite frankly, the youngsters on the back end played solid, played well, played physical, didn't make that many mistakes. And I think it might be one that you do look at on paper your opponent and say, oh, this should be an easy night. This should be an offensive night. And I think when the game turned, you know, to their credit, the young Canadians players handled it pretty well. And for Toronto, in at least one night, they, you know, like you said, they battled back, they got the tie, but then another mistake ends up being costly. And that's what looked like to me what Sheldon Keefe was most upset about.
I'm sure you weren't mocking that Montreal blue line, but we were on this show. We were really licking our chops at the prospects of the Maple Leafs having a big night offensively, but that blue line held their own. Not to say that this is the start of something special, that these pieces are in place and they're going to grow and be a dominant force in the league, but pretty good start for that Montreal decor.
Excellent start. And you go down the list, I thought Caden Gooley ended up playing more than anybody, and more than anybody in the entire game, actually, 22-34. Looked like he had all throughout training camp, showing great composure, made some really good plays. I just thought down the line, it's easy to, you know, come into a first game and you look at the Maple Leafs. What, they scored the second most goals in the National Hockey League. They had the best power play last year. I think it's human nature a little bit to maybe look at that lineup and say, oh, this isn't going to be much of a challenge. We should be able to get a lot of easy offense. And yeah, it's another good early reminder. And then not that you need a reminder on a negative front, but it's another good reminder of just how hard it is to win. And to be able to come back and have a game tonight, I think will be helpful for the Leafs, especially on home ice, where now you say, man, that was a bit of a shocker, and always a shocker to give up a late goal in the last minute of play to lose a game. But I think it probably comes at the best time to get right back on the ice again and get an opportunity to play again tonight.
Craig, we were surprised how slow the Leafs looked. And I don't think that's really a problem moving forward, at least for the forwards. I mean, the wingers, you know, there's new combination, so on and so forth. It didn't look like they had much pop, at least in terms of their ability to move up and down the ice. But where skating could be an issue for the Leafs is with their bottom four. In terms of their defense, Hall and Muzzin look slow at times. Giordano looks slow at times. Rasmus Sandin's not necessarily a burner. I felt like that was one of the primary issues. And when we're talking about like things to actually be concerned about moving forward, I think the performance and speed of that second unit, Muzzin and Hall, is probably at the forefront. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Well, I think it's always going to be a little bit of a question mark, and you know, look at last year and you wonder, okay, which of that pairing, they struggled together at the start of the year. And obviously injuries played a role too, with Muzzin getting in and out of the lineup. As Sheldon Keefe talked about it during training camp, you know, Justin Hall struggled at the beginning. Muzzin was giving the puck up more in the beginning of the season. That pairing didn't seem to work. So to get back to that pairing again and having a couple of problems, and definitely on the last goal, a giveaway by Muzzin, is a tough way to start. But you're right. I think you'll have to keep an eye on, because pace is going to be something that I think, you know, teams around the National Hockey League talk at great lengths about. Everyone wants to play high-pressure game, lots of pace. And if you're back end, Giordano, you know, at the end sort of his tenure as a number one guy, he goes down the ladder. I thought he played a good, solid game, but I think it's a fair question to say, do you have enough speed back there? Can you get yourself out of trouble with your feet? And, you know, that's where a guy like in training camp, Victor Mete, you know, maybe he comes in and out. He can use his feet to get himself out of trouble, but I don't think he can overreact on one game. But you always look at it, and I'm sure you guys watch at the end, a head coach in the scrum afterwards tells you an awful lot about how he feels about his team and the performance. And there weren't many excuses being given by Sheldon Keefe after game one. So it'll be really interesting to see what kind of reaction comes from the guys in game two.
Yeah, that was exactly where we were headed to next, is the post-game remarks from head coach and some of the players. And we had Kyle Bukauskas on earlier, who said that, yeah, it was one of the most interesting post-game responses he's seen. One of the most, he said smoke coming out of his ears, possibly. He was holding the players accountable. What did you make of the reminder of the magnitude of this regular season mattering, and you don't just get to start in the playoffs, and maybe also the idea that you're going to bench some of your big players right early and it doesn't matter who you are?
Yeah, and listen, that's the challenge for every coach. That I go back to even last year, you know, the same discussions start from day one. You know, everybody's looking back. Last year you had the most wins in franchise history, the most points in franchise history, but you had the sixth straight year where you've lost in the first round, the fifth straight year that you've lost an elimination game, and another one at home. So everyone is of the mindset of, okay, it's all about, you know, can you get past the first round? And I think there's always a danger of, from day one, that's sort of the focus looking too far ahead. And I just think that the messaging from Sheldon Keefe during training camp was about let's not look too far ahead. Let's focus on the challenge of the day. Let's be really mindful and razor sharp about what our challenge is today as opposed to anything. And I think the message last night was it was unacceptable. And, you know, there are times when you snap as a head coach and you rattle your saber and you try to get the attention of your team. I don't think any coach wants to do it after game one, because that's, you know, you use it too often and it's less effective each and every other time. But I think knowing that they had a game again tonight, I think his messaging was crystal clear that, you know, I got to snap to attention here and let's make sure that, you know, potentially you lose a game tonight and you know the story, then all of a sudden in 48 hours you're finding yourself with no points after two games in, and that's not a scenario and that's not an acceptable one. And I think he's just trying to get his attention of his team here and hope that they're ready to play a better game here on game two.
If that game needed a goal last night, all that really had to happen was Morgan Riley activating. He was very active, very aggressive, moving up and down the ice, almost like a fourth forward out there. And the thing is, it worked well and it didn't work well. I think part of the reason that Bunting was able to open the scoring was Morgan Riley was sort of a decoy there, and then he kind of leaves Brody out to dry on the next one for Cole Caulfield. I wonder about how much stress that puts on TJ Brody. Like, one of his great skills is breaking up odd man rushes, but that's not a skill you should probably be looking to showcase at all times. Like, that's a break glass in case of emergency type thing. But it seems like if Riley's going to play that way, and it seems like he's been given license to play that way, it's going to put a lot of focus on him breaking up odd man rushes. And when you got Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki throwing it back and forth, that spells danger to me. So did you notice his aggressiveness, that being Riley's, and did you see it as a bit of an issue last night?
Well, you know, I think, again, when you examine one game, it's hard to look at a trend and say, oh, this has been happening. There's been far too many times where the mistakes have happened. I think it's a given that when Morgan's on the ice, the collective group that's out there, whether he's out with Matthews' line or whether he's out with Tavares' line, I think you always know when you're playing that scenario that Morgan's going to have a green light to go. Morgan's going to be able to jump up. So to me, there is a sort of shared responsibility from the forward line that you can't have those risky passes that have a potential to be broken up and going the other way. It's not always the guy on the back end who's making the risky play, trying to jump up and trying to join the rush. Like you said, he seemed to have the green light. Often it's the guys from the forward perspective that make risky passes or trying to throw it to an area that's in a danger area when you know that the guy is going to join the rush. So a lot of times you got to be of the mindset of, you know, much more attention to not giving the puck away. And I think you saw that a few times. You could say Morgan's jumping up trying to make a play happen. It goes the other way. But it was a risky, bad pass. I think it was bunting on the one that never didn't play again at the end of the second period after the sort of an errant pass gets in the feet of Matthews and goes back the other way. So it's a collective scene that you all have to be responsible. But I don't think there's any question that Morgan's role, you were just talking about the mobility of the D or even the speed of the D, and there's no question that he's the cream of that crop in terms of using his feet to create things. So I don't think it's going to change all that much. I think, like anything, you're reacting to a one out of 82, and you just got to see, okay, then you have a bounce-back game, and maybe tonight's a much different look. And the odd man rushes, no question, were what got the ire of the head coach, because there was far too many of them, I would say, on both sides, but the most notable giving them up at times to the two most dangerous guys in the Canadians in Caulfield and Suzuki.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with, like, the mobility issues for everybody but Riley. Maybe that's why it's so striking, because Riley's out there moving around 200 feet, no real restraints on him, while the other ones are dug in and just trying to get the puck away from the Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki tandem. Just on Caulfield quickly, do you expect a big step? I mean, he looked really, really good last night. He looked really dangerous, and it's a player who has that natural goal-scoring capability, hasn't necessarily had it translate seamlessly to the NHL, but it looks like he's ready to pop. No,
yeah, it just looks like his confidence level, his attention with, you know, handling the puck and not panicking. I mentioned and said it numerous times with Chris last year, and when he first jumped on, I can't remember a player that, yeah, you could just tell the puck follows him around and he finds a way to get open. In the early days, like a lot of young players, where you're just a little overexcited, you're not quite as calm, he missed the net so many times. And those shots that were trying to go high right under the bar, I can count, you know, numerous times where great chances and that shot would be high and wide. You know, now he did it. It was a tough shot, the first two-on-one that went high and wide. But I just said, here's a guy now that the game has slowed down for him. His confidence level is back like it was when, you know, he was great at the University of Wisconsin. He won the Hobie Baker Award. He could score goals at that level. And I just think that's what happens as a goal scorer, that your brain is just caught up with your hands, your confidence level. The game has slowed down for you. And I think what you see for him is the puck does follow him around a little bit. And I think his confidence level, I mean, that second shot for his second goal was just such a good, calm play. He put it exactly where he needed to, and that's a great sign. You know, he and Suzuki, and even Anderson's a good fit on that line as well. You know, that's a line that looks like it's going to be a dangerous line all year for them.
We're speaking with Craig Simpson, our current Sportsnet color analyst. So you mentioned the goal scoring. Well, on one side, we got to see the Matt Murray in regular season debut. Seemed like some of the goals were placed in the same spot. Is there a book out already on how to beat Matt Murray in net?
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the, you know, Oiler game afterwards last night too. You just, that's a shot that today's player, goal scorer, just has a way that it's almost unstoppable. I mean, the player now, when you're coming in that close, you get to an area and you're not just bombing that puck and hoping. It's that placement, you know, between the ears, right over the shoulder and arm. It's almost an impossible one to stop. And, you know, Matt got beat there a few times. The last goal by Anderson, you know, maybe one that it's the timing of a little screen in front. I thought Murray didn't react to the turnover, which happens when a turnover is there, right? But, you know, too early to get a trend. I thought he looked okay. I thought he battled pretty hard. But that's a frustrating night where you give up a late goal. And, you know, all you want for Matt Murray is to get him settled in and allow him to get confidence in his own game, get some wins under his belt. And now you got a scenario where you got Samsonov playing his old team, you know, for game number one as a Maple Leaf tonight. And then potential for Murray to play in his old team on Saturday. And, guys, we've seen things before. You know, that might be kind of a negative way to start. It could be a disastrous one, but you hope you get something positive early on. I don't pin that game on Matt Murray at all. I thought he was okay. But those kind of shots are what, especially as a right-handed shooter, coming in and putting it up and over the glove like that are so difficult to handle. And I think it's one that he was exposed on again last night.
X is looming for Maple Leaf goaltenders here in a couple big games, bigger now that Toronto lost the opener in Montreal last night. Craig, appreciate you coming on, joining us after, the opener last night and a couple games and a busy time in the schedule. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
You too. What are we thinking?
For what?
Starting anew with the Leafs here.
I think we should start anew.
I mean, I feel like I think we hit on what's important today. Mm-hmm. I don't think we overreacted. I think on Monday morning, though, if things are not exactly churning the way we expected them to churn, we could be taking on a far different tone. So right now, I guess it's on Ilya Samsonov. Have a good start against his former team.
What a better time to do that.
And then Matt Murray gets the exact same opportunity we expect on the weekend against his former team. We'll see if that gets the best out of the Maple Leafs goaltenders. But again, it's not all in the goaltenders. A lot of it on the players.
We got a big matchup. Matthews and Ovi going head-to-head tonight. Could be something that intrigues you in the betting markets. The Leafs, once again, big favorites to win tonight.
And big news, we have Malgin lines.
We have Malgin lines.
We also have an Adam Gaudette line. Is Adam Gaudette playing tonight? Like what?
I have no idea.
We're going to have to check that out.
Interesting. We'll help you get some money on Denny Malgin next in the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. And we'll set up Thursday Night Football. We'll set up the ALDS matchups. We got Capitals, Leafs, just $5. Justin's same game parlay. And as always, your Wake and Rake anchor submissions. We've selected a few to read and hopefully you get to be part of what should be a big turnaround for us and the Maple Leafs. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. That's next.
Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for a jam-packed Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Yesterday was tough because we had a completely different perspective of how the game would go. Thus, we lost.
Yeah.
Majorly.
That's
all good.
See, that's good for the old same-game parlay. You load up on things that kind of work. But if, like, you do a bunch of individual bets that all are kind of along the same avenue, and it doesn't go down that avenue, you can get burned a little bit.
Life happens.
Shout out to Austin Matthews for getting that fifth shot, kind of prevented us from having a real, real tough night.
It's about one of the only positives, but we're going to bounce back just like the Maple Leafs. They have their home opener tonight. The vibes will be immaculate down at Scotiabank Arena. Main pondering, we don't have the odds on Unibet, but will there be a new Leafs goal song? I set the odds at plus 150. What do you think of that?
Plus 150.
Let me give you the reasoning behind it. It was a very, very hot topic. It's quieted down. The players were nonchalant about, yeah, I'd be interested, but also, you know, a bigger fish to fry. Tonight is the opportunity to do it. They didn't do it in the preseason. So if they're going to do it, it's tonight.
I think there are a couple tells here.
Okay.
Lots of talk early, no talk late. You feel like if it wasn't happening, if there wasn't something new, then maybe there'd be a question, a softball thrown out in those last few days here. Hey, we're going to hear something new?
No, people are just sick of talking about it. But you think that Kyle Bukauskas was going to go to the scrum couple days, our buddy, and
Kyle's
say...
Kyle's the best in the game, and he wouldn't go that route. But if you're in there every day and you're trying to write a new story every day.
No way. That's so 2 weeks ago, Justin. Anyway, plus 150.
Okay, let's just say this. If it's plus 150, I think we're hearing a new song tonight. And here's my actual bet from that. Mm-hmm. Austin Matthews is going to score the first goal and that new music is going to hit in the only way that it should hit, mm-hmm. with Austin Matthews, the goal-scoring king in the NHL,
yep.
unveiling this new song for us, if in fact there is a new song. So Austin Matthews to score the first goal tonight, plus 700.
Oof,
maybe I won't go crazy on Maple Leaf scoring props today like I did the other day, but that's one that I just, that's my just $5 range. That's just my one little fun play, Matthews to open the scoring. I think he'll be a little bit hungry after what was, frankly, not a great game from him in Montreal.
Couldn't agree. I love that bet. Plus 700 is definitely in my just $5 range. I'll give you what my just $5 is because it's also from this game. It also revolves around Matthews. Unibet has a pre-packaged selection of bets for tonight's game. Let me interest you in this.
We got to get a pre-pack, by the way.
For us, yeah.
Fan Mortgage pre-pack. And Malgin lines, which we have now.
So the pre-pack that I like, Matthews to get 2 points and Ovi to get 2 points, plus 800. Not goals, just points. Could be goals, could be assists. I think that both of them, who are held off of scoring, have something to prove tonight. Ovi's on the chase for a very important record.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews is on the chase to get 60.
It's early in the season, so it's power play time in the NHL.
It sure is. We got so many penalties last
night. And these guys are two of the most dangerous power play weapons in the league. I think in terms of like fun bets, why not? That's fun.
Yeah, 2 points each. I'm not saying who's going to win.
Maybe three for Matthews.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So plus 800, that's my Unibet pre-pack. Just $5 for you.
Do you want to go through the anchors before we finish going through the Maple Leaf board?
Yeah, because I think
just in case one of them stands out. I don't want to steal from the anchor pool.
Got that. Big Mac let us down last night. Zach Wheeler over K's. That's okay. Big Mac's back in the text line.
We let him down too.
We certainly let him down. Okay, so Chad from Peterborough up first. Over 6.5 total for tonight's Leaf game. Lots of scoring so far. Ovi and Matthews. There we go. Both shot out last night. Hungry to get on the board early and often to begin the year.
I'm choosing to believe that Ilya Samsonov's going to have a great start. And for that reason, that's not my favorite. Again, this might just be, you know, just trying to be positive. Maybe I'm blinded by my positivity or my attempts at being positive. But I feel like, you know, your huge revenge spot guy.
Yep. Oh, I love the big revenge game.
This is an opportunity for Ilya Samsonov to show the team that invested a first-round pick in him that they whiffed. And Darcy Kemper, by the way, didn't look that good last night. But worth considering.
Okay. My wake and rake tonight would be Ottawa Senators money line. That's Corey from Port Hope.
Again, we want to anchor it in the most important game.
Reading it. Taylor from Newmarket. Good morning. Picks for tonight. Matthews goal. Cleveland to win over New York. And then we'll be. Have a great morning, Taylor. Matthews goal tonight. What is that? Minus 135?
I was going to say that's like, do we want to put
minus
plus money?
Minus 148, actually.
We can't.
But
that.
Just, you know. Maybe a parlay piece for somebody else. Matthews over 4.5 shots. That's Jag and Scarborough.
I do really like that.
Yeah.
We talked about it at length yesterday. It did cash. I think he's going to be hyper aggressive tonight. He's going to be trying to get on the board after last night. That's parlay material.
Certainly.
So let's is that our leader right now?
Yes. We have one more Leafs related one. Which I like maybe a bit more. This is Cody in St. Catharines. Tonight I like Nylander over 2.5 shots. He had 5 in the opener. Looks like he's playing opposite side on the PP from Matthews. Should hit the over. If there was an over on Ovi hits, I'd take that too. It's a pretty low
two
number
and a half
for Matthews.
Shots for Nylander?
For Nylander, yes. It's pretty good.
Let's roll with that.
I mean,
we played Matthews yesterday. Let's mix it up a little bit. 2.5 seems very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
Nylander should feel that exact same way that everybody... He did score a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he should be proud of his performance either. I think he'll be pressing as well. Everyone wants to hear a potential new goal song.
Big time.
So let's get Nylander shooting as well. I like that. I don't think we'll take from the football game. There is Carson Wentz to throw an interception, Chris and Moncton in there.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was one of my just sprinkle ideas.
That seems like a pretty...
I have that one in my Thursday night football props. Okay, so Cody in St. Catharines is going to be our anchor. Let's just read the quick Thursday night football ones.
Go for it.
Okay, so yes, Carson Wentz to throw an interception. I'm all over that one as well. Chris and Moncton, anytime touchdown score, Justin Fields. Not a chance I'm watching this game, though. Let's go Sens, Matt in Toronto. this game has a zero interest for me as well. Montgomery over 14.5 receiving yards, hit this total in all three games played this year. Fields a safety blanket. That's Big Mac.
Damn, I like Big Macs again.
Big Mac's a smart guy. And then finally, Tyler from Milton, leaning the under 38 for Thursday Night Football. What do you guys think? Two garbage teams that have no offensive lines. That's part of my feel as well.
So I just think the importance of the game here, everyone that's listening is going to be watching the Maple Leafs tonight. We want to anchor our parlay in the most important game. Let's ride with Nylander over 200 shots.
I love it. Okay, so that's our anchor submission. Those were the other anchor texts in. Thanks for sending those in. Keep it coming every morning. And let's go through some Leafs bets that we like as well tonight.
So my initial thought here was let's do the Leafs team total over. Mm-hmm. Let's double down. Eventually, they've got a breakout here. But you have to pay -143 for the over 3.5. I don't think that's worth playing. If Samsonov does have a big night, maybe they win this game 3-2, and you're chasing minus money, which is never really a position I want to be in. The same really applies to Matthews scoring. -148, it's too extreme right now. I'd rather play that first goal at +700.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Nylander, I got on the streak last year where I bet Nylander first goal of the game, and I feel like he always scored the first goal of the game. I think I hit that bet 4 or 5 times. Just a thought, but you have him to score.
It's got to be better than +700.
Yeah, it will be.
But, yeah.
His is +1,500.
If +190 just to score, though. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But Malgin, right? Well, nipping at his heels there.
We finally have Malgin numbers, +245 to score.
+245. Denny Malgin.
I feel like
it's like a lock.
Just as a vibe play, I got to go +245 on Malgin tonight.
For sure. And then you put in here Gaudette.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm desperate yesterday for Dennis Malgin lines.
And they got Gaudette up instead.
And the guy who, like, am I missing something? Is he playing tonight?
I'm unaware of that being the case.
I don't think he'll be in the lineup tonight, but Adam Gaudette is listed on Unibet at +310. I would make sure that he's playing before you go that route. I might not go that route anyway. In fact, I will not go that route.
I just thought it was an interesting one.
But it is funny that we're not getting top six forward lines, but we got Adam Gaudette here.
One of my favorite things to bet is the X revenge. Connor Brown, a beloved face in the city, is back with the Capitals now.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime goal scorer +350. I love these bets.
What do you think your return on investment on this show,
a lot,
on the X's bets?
It's been good. There's one time where Tom Wilson came here and I bet him to score twice and he did, and it was like crazy odds. And
so that's not an X play, but a revenge guy.
But no, that
play.
Hometown guy play also counts as the revenge X game. But yeah, Connor Brown tonight +350. Anytime goal scorer. And you know what? I like Connor Brown. If someone's going to score, I'd be okay with it being Connor Brown.
Three more plus money plays from the Maple Leafs and Capitals tonight. Mm-hmm. Total power play goals over 1.5 is +135 now. Again, lots of penalties early on in the season. For some reason, they are whistle happy to start the season. A lot of Montreal power plays last night. That doesn't mean that Toronto power plays are coming tonight. It just means that we're probably going to see a decent amount, and we've got two of the greatest weapons on the power play in the league right now on either side, and other great players as well. So I feel like that's a decent one to put in. And again, I'm going to keep playing Marner over 2 points until he does it, 155. And again, Matthews over shots. Let's keep playing that if it's going to win. And on a bad night, he hit his fifth shot to go over the total, 4.5. That's at +120. I think Matthews going to be shooting the puck tonight. And for that reason, goals, maybe the first goal, but at bare minimum, shots.
All right. I love that. A couple free picks for you. You're just $5. Some intrigue for Maple Leafs and Washington Capitals tonight. We also have Thursday Night Football.
Yes.
And you have your same game parlay. And one of my Wake and Rake submissions from this game, you want to start with your same game parlay?
I can do that. So again, themed. They're always themed. The theme here is that dysfunction breeds functionality. So these are two of the worst teams in the league, Chicago and Washington. It's basically a pick 'em. The total is low, 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 38.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it's not just the offenses that are dysfunctional with these two teams, it's the defenses as well. So I feel like they're in decent position, the offenses are, to actually have decent nights because they're not running into a really good team. They're going to see a lot of snaps. Justin Fields and Carson Wentz are going to have a lot of opportunities to make things happen, but also probably throw interceptions and do bad things as well. And that can all lead to points. But anyway, I think they're going to have decent nights, these quarterbacks, just because they're not playing good teams. So I'm going to take the over 38.
Wow.
I'm going to take Justin Fields to throw for over 171 yards. 171. He's going to rush for over 41. And I'm going to have Carson Wentz throw for over 221. So low, low totals here. Let's throw the ball around here, guys, and let's try to rack up some points. In addition to that, to make it a six-leg parlay worth plus 1,700, I'm going to take the number one option for the receiver. Actually, the number two option for Washington. Curtis Samuel, over 47.5, and Darnell Mooney, over 42.5. So I'm looking for mildly successful receiving nights from two of the more important receivers in the game and some good numbers for the quarterback. I just feel like we're going to see a lot of snaps, a lot of penalties, a lot of issues, but in the end, it's going to result in like reasonably high scoring football game. I feel like I'm trying to convince you and you look very...
Buddy, I am in the complete opposite boat.
Are you? What do you
do?
Is this for your wake and rake?
My wake and rake is one of the ones you chose, but the opposite.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, well, the Bears have been one of the worst teams this year. Commanders have lost the last four straight. They have the second worst point differential in NFL. Justin Fields under passing yards is my wake and rake pick.
Under 171 passing yards?
Yep.
That is like...
The Bears have the worst passing offense in the league. I know you said that this...
Who's the worst quarterback in the league?
Could be him.
I was going to say it's probably Justin Fields. I don't know. That number is so low.
The other selection that I had that I was literally going to put in the wake and rake, but then I thought maybe it's a bit obscure, is a Carson Wentz interception.
I love that.
Okay, it's minus 122.
You know, I will take Fields out as a gesture of goodwill.
Maybe I'll do Carson Wentz interception because that's kind of fun to root for that one moment.
See, the only reason I didn't have both of them throwing interceptions in this parlay, because I think that's going to happen, is that it's tripped me up. I think it was one leg that we didn't get before on one of these, and I just don't want to, like, if he's super conservative, if they just throw checkdowns, like, if they just play that game, like, then you might not have the opportunity to get it. I don't want to dissuade you, though. So
okay.
If you feel real passionate.
I was very even on both of these. Let me give you the
171
reason why.
Is real low. If it was 200-something, I'm with you.
I understand. Wentz has thrown one interception in four of the five games he's played this year.
Yeah.
His coach publicly questioned him last week. I think he's going to try to take chances that maybe he shouldn't. He's going to...
And maybe he gets in a rhythm because he actually does move the ball a little bit, but that just results in a mistake.
All right, let's do that. Carson Wentz to throw an interception.
Should I leave Fields in for me?
Yeah, you do whatever you want. Your same game parlay. But I like this because I was honestly, it was a coin flip between these two. And I think it'd be fun to not root against each other.
Oh.
It's all good.
Again, if you put everything in the same boat and it doesn't happen, you lose everything. So it's not bad to have everything spread
around.
No, that's
going to be my wake and rake
again,
selection.
I guess we shouldn't be giving too much conflicting information. And again, mine is based on a theme that things are actually going to be okay tonight. There's a good chance that it's not okay. These teams suck and they don't move the ball at all. But anyway, yeah, it's plus 1,700. I could rhyme it off again, but Fields over in rushing and rushing and passing. Wentz over passing. Samuel and Mooney over receiving. And at over 38 for my same game parlay.
My submission?
Let's wrap up this wake and rake.
Okay. You need to give us your wake and rake selection then.
Correct. Okay.
I can't wrap it up yet, Justin.
I'm going with, I'm still thinking about the Blue Jays a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still thinking about Luis Castillo. But I'm also still thinking about how that Seattle Mariners offense is playing a little bit beyond themselves right now. And for that reason,
somebody needs to humble them.
And that man is Framber Valdez. Framber Valdez is going to humble the Seattle Mariners. The Houston Astros took any bit of momentum or any bit of wind out of their sails with that comeback win in game one. And Valdez is going to do what Verlander didn't, which is to meet his potential and dominate against the Seattle Mariners. So I'm going to have him over 17.5 outs. So we need him to pitch into the sixth inning.
I can
My
see
math
it.
Is correct. And I can see the, this is guy's been the king of quality starts this year. I expect him to do the exact same thing in this spot. Over 17.5 outs is my wake and rake submission. And on top of that, just a little sprinkle. We'll maybe carve out a bit of the unit if you want to. Valdez to record the win plus 195. I feel like,
look, he's going to pitch into the sixth and they win.
Yeah, Luis Castillo could, keep Houston off the board for a little while and maybe make this a battle of the bullpens in the end. Mm. But I feel like Houston is going to take control here. They're the superior team. They're on their home field. I expect Valdez to have a good game. And Houston to have a good game.
And I would like to always bet against Mariners now. Okay, so let's
fade the Mariners.
Let's wrap up our Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Carson Wentz to throw an interception. That's my selection. William Nylander over 2.5 goals. That's Cody and St. Catharines anchor pick. And Framber Valdez over 17.5 total outs. That together is plus 515 on Unibet.
So a little bit more reasonable today. We've been in the 700-800 range. We need to get off the schneid here. We need one win this week.
There's a lot of hockey on tonight. You had a really good idea before we went into the break about a dirty dog of the night. Someone that's an underdog that you think might win. The Colorado Avalanche are plus money to beat the Calgary Flames.
Wow.
Now what?
That wouldn't qualify as a dirty dog because...
But it's still a dog.
This could be like the only time they're a dog all year.
Right.
So are we going to not take advantage of that? I know they played last night. A little emotional. Stanley Cup, banner,
but
all that
stuff. But
the
Flames haven't played yet, really.
Flames haven't played
pre-season
yet.
Pre-season hockey.
The Flames have a lot of different changes.
Mm-hmm.
They might need a little time to gel. So I feel like that's a decent dog play. When I came up with the idea, dirty dog, we're talking about like plus 280s. But let's go with the relatively dirty dog. And the Colorado Avalanche just has something to play on the NHL board.
Okay, one other. New York Rangers, my Rangers, plus 118 over the Wild. It's another dog. Not dirty dog, but a dog nonetheless.
And, they played Tuesday night. What's the deal there? It's another decent one.
That's what I'm saying. Unibet's helpful today. Okay, so that was our Wake and Rake. We have lots of sports. We have the ALDS matchups. We got Thursday night football. We got Toronto Maple Leafs home opener.
It's a big night.
But there's a interesting story to bring up. Devontae Adams could face up to 6 months in jail after being charged with assaulting and shoving a cameraman, being threatened with jail time. There's a video of him walking off the field after the Raiders lost the Chiefs, and he certainly shoves a cameraman. There's a police report against Adams, citing a possible concussion and other injuries, and he was officially charged with a misdemeanor assault.
Yeah, I didn't see this live. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if this guy said something to him. If he was literally just passing by and got shoved, I mean, that's a pretty Bush League move from Devontae Adams. But I will say this. Just once, the opportunity for someone that is just handed to them to, maybe sue an athlete or take advantage of a situation, that they turn that down. Like, what would you do if you were shoved by Devontae Adams? Would you milk it for all it's worth? Would you want that man
Not
to spend
really.
Time
I
in
think
jail?
It's a tough, it's like such
you
a,
wouldn't want him to spend time
no,
in jail,
no,
would you?
No. I mean, maybe if he pushed me off a cliff and I broke all my bones, but
if you tumbled lightly to the ground, AstroTurf,
I could do that to you after the show. Are you going to sue me?
Well,
maybe
I'll rethink.
Some of the listeners might want to do that to me today.
just once. I'd like to see one of these people just say, hey, it's all right, man. Like, I get it. Fired up, emotional, workplace environment, all eyes on you. Tough loss. Maybe you can cut me a little check.
Oh, apparently he's a college student.
Maybe you can pay my tuition.
Yeah.
But do I want to see you go to jail? Do I want to see you take advantage? Or do I want to take advantage of this thing to the nth degree and actually bring, like, bad things onto you for a light push? I don't know. I'd like to see someone, like, come on social media and say, it's all right, Devontae.
Hey, give me a signed jersey.
I get it. I was in your way.
But we don't know the story, but they just...
$20,000 to pay my tuition would be great, but other than that, it's all good, man. But no, everyone, you get your opportunity, and you try to make it as profitable as possible.
Could be interesting. Would this happen immediately? Is it postseason? Like, how does this work?
I don't think he's going to jail.
Let's say that he went to jail. What happens?
It'd be the most ridiculous
thing.
Well,
yeah, I understand that.
There would probably be a lengthy court process. I'm sure they would time it up, the Raiders.
Everybody's poor fantasy teams.
Devontae spends his entire offseason in jail, comes back next year and plays well.
There's your revenge year. All right, Seattle and Houston, 3:30. Guardians and Yankees, 7:30. Toronto Maple Leafs, home opener at 7:30. Hopefully a little bit of a shorter ceremony than we saw yesterday. Washington and Chicago, Thursday Night Football at 8. Lots of other hockey games, some NBA preseason.
Is this the first true, like,
it's a big, this big
three,
night.
Four screen night?
Yeah, yeah. Get ready for your eyes to burn when you're trying to consume 93 different sporting events at the same time. You've made it, Justin. But that's the exciting part of this.
The blue light glasses will stay on tonight.
That's right. I get to be at the game to feel the energy at Scotiabank Arena.
I'll fill you in on one of the more forgettable Thursday night football games.
Can't say that I'll be
probably of the season.
Watching that when I get home. Thanks for listening to the Fan Morning Show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Happy Baby Friday.